You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your place for Orioles news and analysis from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. As always, I'm your host, Justin McGuire. Guys, as you know, yesterday we talked to Evan Altman about whether the Cubs were going to be the logical landing place for Manny Machado if the Orioles indeed do put Machado on the trading block. Right after I did that interview, news of Corey Seager's injury broke. As you know, Seager is the Dodgers' shortstop, and he's going to miss the rest of the year after Tommy John surgery. That news led a lot of us, including me, to speculate whether Manny Machado might now be a target for the Dodgers. It seemingly would make a lot of sense because Machado's a shortstop, he has the kind of bat that Seager does. It would be a short-term rental that the Dodgers wouldn't have to make a long-term commitment to, knowing that Seager's going to be back. Well, today we're going to talk about that possibility with Jay Jaffe. Most of you know Jay. I'm sure he is a writer for FanGraphs. He used to work for SI. He's also the author of the excellent book, Cooperstown Casebook. We're going to get to that in just a second. But first, I just want to remind everybody that we are looking for advertisers. If you have any interest in advertising on Locked On Orioles or any of the other Locked On Baseball podcasts, please contact us at lockedonorioles@gmail.com. Hey folks, just a reminder, for all the original content of the Locked On Podcast Network, both the podcasts and the written content on every team, go to lockedonsports.com. And of course, for all your content on the Baltimore Orioles, make sure to go to lockedonorioles.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles. We are joined now by Jay Jaffe. He's a senior writer for FanGraphs. And Jay, I wanted to talk to you about this thing that's come up since the Corey Seager news broke. And that's the idea that a lot of people have put out on Twitter and other places, including me, that with Corey Seager out for the season, the Dodgers would be a good candidate to trade for Manny Machado. You know, basically shortstop for shortstop, a short-term rental because they're not going to need a shortstop long-term. It just seems like a good fit in a lot of ways. And I think that was the reaction of a lot of people when they saw the Seager news. But you don't really think that's going to happen, do you?
No, I don't. I think there's two real obstacles in place and fallout that could happen because of that. First of all, Machado is going to command a huge amount of talent, even for a short-term rental. You're talking about blue-chip prospects. The Dodgers have one in Walker Buehler, but he's already in their rotation due to Rich Hill's injury, and they're probably going to need him, to assume, I would say, not a full workload, because this is a guy who's probably going to have an innings cap at some point. But given the way that they shuttled pitchers in and out of their rotation last year, they need more than five starters, and he's an essential part of what they're trying to do. It's going to take other guys as well, other prospects as well, to get Machado. But the bigger reason is that Machado's $16 million annual salary would push them above the competitive balance tax threshold of $197 million. They're at $187 million before bonuses and benefits are calculated. They don't really have a whole lot of headroom there. And while whatever they take on with Machado would be prorated, basically they would have to offload a similar amount in order to make it work. Like, say they're sending Justin Turner back to the Orioles or something like that. And I don't see that happening. Seager will be back at the beginning of next year. They've got Turner under contract for two more years at a very reasonable cost. That's a very strong left side of the infield, for somebody that they're not going to re-sign. I just don't see that making sense, because now – the reason they wanted to get under that competitive balance tax threshold is to reset their marginal tax rate and avoid the penalties that come with being a repeated offender. Right now, they're paying a 50% marginal rate, or they were as of last year. They'd reset it to 20%. They also have penalties, some draft pick losses, potential, bump backs as well. There's just a lot of incentive not to do that at a time when they are probably going to have to make an attempt to re-sign Clayton Kershaw if he opts out of his contract at the end of the year, or if they want to pursue, say, Bryce Harper via free agency this winter. All of those things will cost a lot more money to do if they don't reset their marginal tax rate. And so the acquisition of Manny Machado would be very, very costly for them.
Yeah, you kind of answered the first question I had, which was, you know, with a team like the Dodgers that has as much money as the Dodgers have, the idea that you of staying under this competitive balance, you know, tax or luxury tax, as some people call it, you know, it's kind of would seem like it's optional in some ways, right? This is a team that has a lot of money. They don't really have to stay under it. They just want to. But you just explained some of the reasons they may want to. Now, of course, at the end of the day, they do have a lot of money, so that is a decision they could potentially make. But that's not really the way Andrew Friedman operates, is it?
No, I mean they're not a team that's geared towards going for the obvious most expensive option. They're going to try other things. Now the good thing about the way they've built this team is they have a lot of flexibility and a lot of depth. Chris Taylor, who was a converted infielder who took up residence as a regular center fielder last year, is the likely regular shortstop for the time being. He got off to a slow start, but his bat has already warmed up a bit. When you think about it, you know, they've got a lot of outfield depth, and there's going to be a pool of outfielders that's probably less expensive to patch the center field situation if they need to. They've got prospect Alex Verdugo that they can take a look at. They've got Andrew Tolles still in the minor leagues. They can mix and match that outfield a lot more easily than they can go out and get a shortstop. I looked at the other free agent pending free agent shortstops out there, guys like Jose Iglesias and Adeni Hechavarria, really light hitting guys that don't figure to be improvements on Taylor and Kike Hernandez, who's probably the secondary player in this. It's just much easier to do a smaller upgrade that won't cost them two blue chip prospects in July. They're going to have other needs too. We've already seen that the bullpen is kind of a mess. Kenley Jansen looks like he's showing some wear and tear relative to years past, and they could probably use at least one or if not more reliable setup options there too. So I think if they can get away with not making a blockbuster move for Manny Machado, they're going to do everything they can to avoid that.
So does the fact that the Dodgers have gotten off to a slower start than maybe they would have liked, I mean, I think everybody was predicting the Dodgers were going to run away with the division again. They're not doing that yet. You don't think that that's going to put them in any kind of a panic mode and maybe make a deal that they ordinarily wouldn't or anything like that?
They don't do panic. I think that they are very geared to not do panic, as much as the writers for who cover the team would like them to panic because that sells papers or clicks. Baseball teams just don't think that way. It's very hard to do a trade in May. First of all, teams are still evaluating what they've got. Dodgers really, I think they expect a spark, the return of Justin Turner, which is probably, a week, maybe at most 2 weeks away to spark that offense a bit more, and the offense has generally been pretty good. So they're not going to, just start blowing things up, and other teams aren't going to start making moves, right now, just to, satisfy the Dodgers' whims. There's a reason that, you don't see trades until July. And that's because the teams want to make sure that if they're the ones dealing, they've got all the leverage when it comes to extracting the high cost from other teams. The Dodgers have dug themselves a hole. The Diamondbacks are a strong team. They won 90-some games last year, made the playoffs. The Rockies made the playoffs too. The Giants have been beating up on the Dodgers and are around 500 right now, and they're about to get Madison Bumgarner back, in the next few weeks. So, this is a strong division that really only the Padres are a non-factor. In time, I think, the Dodgers, still have enough season left that they can climb into this. We saw them, overtake the Giants, when Clayton Kershaw was on the disabled list a couple of years ago. So I'm not going to rule out, the possibility that, they're going to be back on first place by the time this is over.
Well, one other question I had, that this has come up, some Orioles writers I've seen suggesting this on Twitter, in terms of the competitive tax, they are saying, what if the Orioles took on some or a lot of Manny Machado's salary just to get a deal done? Is that something you think would be a possibility?
Why would they do that when they can go get blue chip prospects and not take on salary from another team. They don't have to set. They're not. They don't owe it to the Dodgers to satisfy their whims. I mean, suppose the Yankees were willing to offer them Gleyber Torres and not take on salary. I mean, you know, they don't have to take a deal with the Dodgers unless it's the best deal out there. The way I would see it happening is that they'd have to take back, say, Logan Forsyth and Hyunjin Ryu or something like that. And then the Dodgers still have to fill those gaps. We're talking about taking on offsetting salaries. I don't see a lot of incentive for the Orioles to eat salary unless it's to buy a third blue chip prospect in a deal.
Now, my podcast episode yesterday, I talked to Evan Altman about the idea of Manny Machado getting traded to the Cubs. And I do have some fear of this becoming not an Orioles podcast, but a Manny Machado trade rumors podcast. But the reality is that's right now what's going on. That's the big story for the Orioles. They're not going to win anything this year. So the Manny Machado trade, if it does happen, is going to be the big news. So while we've got you, then let's talk about that. If it's not the Dodgers, first of all, and this is something that I as an Orioles observer, I always have to put this caveat on, which is, while trading Manny Machado is the obvious thing to do and the logical thing to do, this is something that Peter Angelos is ultimately going to be making the decision on, so we don't necessarily know that we're going to get the logical decision here. But assuming they do make him available, the first question I had is, and you've already addressed this somewhat, but a lot of people are saying, well, the Orioles are already out of it. Why not make a deal now so that the team getting him would have a few more months and maybe you can get a little more value for him than you would in July? But you've kind of addressed that already. So the second question then is, if they do make him available, who do you see, which teams do you see as being a good fit, teams that would have some interest in him and that would have the type of prospects the Orioles would be interested in?
I could see maybe like the Cubs would make sense. You think about, they could build a trade around somebody like Javi Baez and Carl Edwards or Eloy Jimenez. I mean, like, this is going to hurt. Sorry, Eloy Jimenez went to the White Sox. I'm sorry, that's wrong. This is going to hurt whoever, in terms of what a team gives up. This is not going to be a trivial loss of players. It's going to have an impact on the roster of whoever gives them up. So the Cubs are a team I would think about. I wonder about the Cardinals, maybe the Blue Jays. A bit more wariness to trading Machado in the division. We know that the Angelos in the past has been, reluctant to deal with the Yankees, for example, and I would think that extends to other competitors in the American League East. The Indians are a team that I could see happening for maybe building a trade around Francisco Mejia and some other prospects. I think it'll be till July when we start to see the list of suitors shape up, because these other teams, they have options internally that they want to sort through before they give up blue chips.
So I guess the question, I guess you would have no way of knowing this, but when I was talking about earlier about whether Angelos is going to make the logical decision, if you had to guess right now, are the Orioles going to trade Manny Machado?
I think so. Eventually, I think they've got to face the reality. And it will be tough for them, to make that decision. But ultimately, I think that they will be pragmatists about this when the time comes, because they will see what kind of offers there are out there.
Okay. And in terms of the Orioles' other trade pieces, I think Adam Jones has been mentioned. I don't know that he has a whole lot of value at this point, but, if they can get anything for him, it might be worth it. And Zach Britton is kind of an interesting one, right? I mean, if he comes back and is effective at all, there's always an interest in relief pitching.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was a lot of interest in Britton around the deadline last year, but he's got to show that he's healthy. And once he does, I think that he will generate interest, and he is a guy who could help a lot of teams. Adam Jones might fit the bill for the Dodgers in a lower impact move, because he's got a pretty decent bat and a lot of experience in center field.
All right. Well, Jay, thanks a lot for speaking with us today. I appreciate it.
Sure thing. Good talking to you.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.